Hi there, this is Dr. Linda Papadopoulos. Welcome to The Psychology Behind. Now, today I want to speak to you about self-esteem. Now, you hear a lot about the importance of self-esteem these days, and I think the reason that it is so important is that it really is integrally related to our identity, our self-image. It affects the way we behave, it affects our thoughts, it affects the way we see and value ourselves, and even how we think. Having poor self-esteem actually means that the way you process the world is from a place of inferiority, from the position of being somehow not good enough, even defective. And because of this, expressing your needs, asserting yourself becomes hard. And so you begin to actually feel powerless and begin to feel like you can't change things, which of course further feeds into feelings of low self-esteem. And that just compounds everything. When it comes to mental health, we know that low self-esteem is actually a feature of conditions like depression or borderline personality disorder. We also know that it's kind of circular, so that having low self-esteem can lead to depression, and then depressive thinking can negatively impact self-esteem. Now, here's something interesting. People often confuse self-esteem with self-confidence. So self-confidence is actually how you feel about a particular ability. Because of this, right, because it's a particular ability, it actually changes depending on the situation. So you may be super confident at your job, but your self-esteem can still get in the way of you progressing your career because you're not sure you actually deserve that promotion, or you feel that others are better than you, right? So you might be brilliant at accounting, but not feel good enough to go forward for that promotion. I think this is key, right? Because self-esteem actually refers to how you feel about yourself overall. It's not about just one thing. So how much esteem and positive regard or self-love you have is related to your self-esteem rather than being good at just one thing. Now, the causes of low self-esteem can vary, right? They can come from things like trauma as a child, or even from unhealthy messages. You know, when I work with people, it's really interesting when you kind of hear how they speak to themselves. And I think for some people, and this especially happens when, as a child, they were bullied, they experienced something bad. And I think when you feel that, you know, maybe you had a neglectful parent, or maybe you had, you know, sustained bullying at school, what you tend to do is you internalize that. You begin to ask yourself, why did this happen? Why is my parent neglectful? Why is my mom, you know, different from, you know, treats me different than the way that I see other moms treating their children? Or why am I singled out at school? And instead of seeing the flaw within the person, you begin to see the flaw within yourself, and you begin to feel somehow defective. And you develop what some psychologists call a defectiveness schema, a belief that somehow you're a bit broken. So you kind of imagine this person in years to come. Now, if somebody, you know, doesn't have a defectiveness schema, can take on feedback, whether it's positive or negative, and they can say, okay, well, I can learn from this, I can grow from this. If someone with a defectiveness schema hears negative feedback, instead of saying, well, this is, you know, a constructive thing, I can grow, immediately it triggers that feeling of being defective, and they think, oh my gosh, I'm not good enough, because there's something wrong with me, because I'm broken. And they remember all those feelings of feeling rejected or not loved or just somehow not okay. And that then affects the way they respond to life in the here and now. And I think that is, in my clinical experience, I think that underlies a lot of the self-esteem issues that we see. But there's a lot of other things that can cause it. So we know in later life, self-esteem can actually be influenced by negative life events, like a setback in our career, a relationship breakup, you know, even a general sense of lack of control. You know, you need to remember, we're comparative creatures, human beings. So something that, you know, gives a blow to our social status, so losing that job or feeling that you're the only one that's single, this can really impact self-esteem, because what we're doing is we're comparing to others. We're saying, okay, I used to have this status and now it's lower, so I don't feel that good about myself. So again, this is, I think, one of those key things that people associate with depression, but it can profoundly affect self-esteem as well. Now, I think where a lot of us get it wrong with self-esteem comes down to the way that we parent, or indeed the way that we were parented. Now, there's been this thinking for the past few years, right? That by having, you know, a parent tell a child that they are amazing and wonderful all the time, that of course they will believe it and that'll be great for the self-esteem, which, you know, I guess, you know, when you think about it briefly, makes sense. But actually, the truth is that while you absolutely should give your child as much love and security and that they want, and these are key features for good self-esteem, the other thing that's needed for good self-esteem is a sense of resilience and a sense of competence. And you can't lie to somebody about their sense of competence and hope that it's just going to be okay because you've told them it is, right? You don't get higher self-esteem and you don't get kids being more competent by showering them with compliments. In fact, if you're trying to improve competence, constant praise is probably going to end up eroding self-esteem, because what you're going to do is you're going to lower the bar so they don't have to push themselves. You remove obstacles so they never learn to remove them themselves, so that, you know, you deny them the ability to get that sense of resilience of overcoming something difficult, and you deny them the opportunity to fail, because failing is so important in learning to succeed and learning to feel okay about yourself even though you haven't achieved. And that's a very big part of good self-esteem, that I can feel, you know, that I've done something unwell, but I still like myself enough. I still have enough faith in myself to tweak it and try again. Of course, the other side of overpraise as well is that you send the message that they always need to be good, bless them, or they always need to be perfect. And again, this is really not helpful to self-esteem. We know that the, you know, the overriding feeling of perfection is constantly feeling not good enough. So whether you've heard this stuff from your parents or whether you're a parent yourself, please be aware of the way that, you know, you tell your kids, the way you praise your kids, rather, because I think while it's absolutely wonderful to praise them when they genuinely are doing something well, it's absolutely fine to say, do you know what, honey, I'm glad you're enjoying choir, even though you may not have the best singing voice. It's great that you're able to enjoy something you're not perfect at. That is a heck of a lot better for their self-esteem than saying it's time to, you know, to get you that record deal. Believe me. So if you feel that you suffer from poor self-esteem, there are a number of simple things that you can do to boost yourself and hopefully break out of that downward spiral. So here are five things that you can try. Number one, be yourself. Everyone else is taken. That has to be my favorite Oscar Wilde quote, because I think it speaks to that ageless struggle of self-acceptance. In many ways, I think it's more apt today than ever before with the amount of comparing we do on social media. So the truth is, the sooner that you figure out that you are not in competition with anyone but yourself and are therefore able to focus on your unique qualities rather than trying to, you know, imitate someone else's, the better your relationship will be with yourself and with your self-esteem. Number two, be aware of self-talk. Now, I say this a lot because I really think it's one of the most important things you can do. You speak to yourself more than anyone speaks to you. So what you are saying is integral. Be aware of the negative thoughts. Be aware of the shoulds and have-tos that you put on yourself. If you wouldn't speak to a good friend in the way that you're speaking to yourself, then there's a problem with the way that you're speaking to yourself. It never ceases to amaze me the way that we can bully ourselves. You know, the names that we call ourselves, the way that we put ourselves down. You know, make a note of those self-defeating mantras that go around in your head. After all, whether you think you can or you think you can't, actually, you're right in the end, right? If you believe you can't do something, you're going to convince yourself and it'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy and you probably won't be able to do it. But if you start thinking, well, maybe I can work towards this, even if you have a failure, then you'll get back up and try again, and that'll feed into your self-esteem, and that's key. Number three, don't internalize failure and externalize success. Now, the meanings that you ascribe to life events are really important in how you deal with them. So reframing your relationship with failure and the fear associated with it, as well as the way you see success, is really important. Think of failure as a natural step on the way to any achievement, right? A chance to, I don't know, to gather valuable feedback on you know, what you should focus on, the way you need to work. And think of success not just in terms of luck or what others have done, but you know, the things you've done that have played a role in it too. There's something important about learning from both things. You know, think of whatever goal you have as a fact-finding mission, right? In that way, the successes and the failures, you know, go into this sort of mental map that you make about how you understand the world. And the more of that information you have, the less likely it is that those self-defeating thoughts will get in the way. Number four, come out of your comfort zone. One of the key ways to build self-confidence and self-esteem is to do something you didn't think you could do. Something difficult, something out of the ordinary. So make a point of not avoiding those things that scare you. In fact, challenging the notion that you don't have it in you to achieve is one of the fastest routes to good confidence and self-esteem. So do something that scares you. Get out of that comfort zone and face those fears. And finally, number five, have a healthy sense of entitlement. This doesn't mean being arrogant or disregarding others' feelings. It means having a healthy sense of your own values and boundaries and being willing to stand up for them. Things that may seem small, like being able to say no or being able to respectfully disagree with someone, well, these things are actually really important because subconsciously, if you're always putting other people's wants and needs above your own, you're sending the message to yourself that somehow you matter less. And really, truly, this is not the case. Having the ability to stand up for what you believe in, to not be scared into silence, or to accept something that goes against your values is so unbelievably important. I want you to make a mental shift towards equity in your relationships. Having low self-esteem means that you're predisposed to assessing others as somehow, better or smarter or more entitled, more deserving than you. And that's really unhelpful. It's going to put you on the back foot, not only in professional interactions, but also in personal ones too. So make a conscious effort to remind yourself of your value. See yourself as being equal to the person you're engaging with, whoever they are. I hope you found that useful. I hope you have great self-esteem because you know what? It's one of the things that breaks my heart. I love working with people. When I sit across from just these amazing men and women and I see them speaking to themselves in a way that's so self-defeating, it makes me sad about, you know, the way that we develop these negative ways and just never get out of them, given the fact that if we can just make a few mental tweaks, it can have such a profound impact on our lives. So please try this if you're suffering from low self-esteem. And if it works, if it helps even a bit, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, as always, for listening. If you're enjoying the podcast, please rate and subscribe and please share with others. And look forward to speaking to you next week.